Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of the best ways to learn the message of the New Testament is to study the sermons that were preached by the inspired men of God on the subject of Jesus Christ. And that's what we intend to do with the lesson today. Paul and Barnabas were on what we call their first missionary journey. They now come to the city of Antioch in Pisidia. That's to be distinguished from Antioch of Syria, where the disciples were first called Christians. Paul went into the Jewish synagogue, as he often did, not to worship according to the Jewish system, but to take advantage of the opportunity afforded him to speak on the behalf of Christ. And his sermon can be divided into different parts. In the first portion here in Acts chapter 13, in verses 16 through 26, we see Paul recounting God's dealings with the people of Israel. He addressed the people as the men of Israel and called for their attention. He reminded them how God had chosen their forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and how God had exalted Israel in Egypt, eventually delivering them from Egyptian bondage. Yes, he covered many years of the Israelite history with just a few words. He mentioned the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and their period of service under that period called Judges, the last of whom was the man Samuel. Then he turned his attention to the selection of their first king, which was King Saul, and his rule of 40 years. And then he next mentioned David, and how God intended to fulfill his promises and his will through David. Now, God had made some great promises to Abraham. We read about these in the book of Genesis in several chapters. And the greatest of all of these promises was, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed," Genesis 12 and verse 3. The blessing referred to was to be through his seed, his descendants, which Paul said referred specifically to Jesus Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 16. And David also, of course, was of the seed of Abraham, and Christ was of the seed of David. Now, Paul also mentioned how God, through David's seed, would fulfill his promise of the Savior to come. That Savior was Jesus Christ. Obviously, we see that Paul is only hitting the high points in the recollection of Israel's history, because their history was not his primary theme. That wasn't his primary purpose in speaking. It is not that the portions that he omitted are unimportant, but his focus was to be on Christ, and he was establishing the connection between Abraham and David and Christ and the promise God had made, and Christ to be the expected one. He introduced the immediate circumstances before the coming of Christ with reference to the work of John the Baptist and his preaching of repentance and baptism for the remission of sins, a preparatory work for the coming of the Lord. And John fulfilled his own work in pointing people to another, even one, he said, whose shoes he was not worthy to loose. Then he turned his attention, Paul did, to the second part of his sermon, to tell his hearers of the one of whom John the Baptist had spoken, the one who was of David's seed, the one who was of Abraham's seed, the one through whom salvation was to come and the promises of God would be fulfilled. Then in verses 27 through 37, Paul sets forth Jesus of Nazareth as the Savior, as the Messiah, as the anointed one, the promised one to come. Recalling the opposition that Jesus faced in Jerusalem, he noted it was because those people knew him not, that is, they failed to recognize him as the one of whom the prophets had spoken, and how the people of Jerusalem, under the guidance and persuasion, of course, of their rulers, had fulfilled the prophecies uttered many years before concerning the Messiah. He mentioned the irony of the actions of the enemies of Jesus. They didn't realize what they were doing. Actually, they were providing additional evidence that Jesus was the very one for whom they should have been looking, the very one that they chose to deny. And even though no fault was found in Christ, Pilate turned him over to the wishes of the mob for him to be put to death. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, this, of course, having obvious reference to the crucifixion of Christ, the body of Jesus was taken down from the cross, and it was buried. Then comes to a very critical part of Paul's sermon as he preached the resurrection of Christ, and how that there were many witnesses of the reality of that event. They had seen the risen Lord. There wasn't any question that he died. There wasn't any question that he was buried, but neither was any question that he was raised from the dead. And having established that truth, he returned to the promise God made long ago, and he announced how that God hath fulfilled the same by the resurrection of Christ. Paul cites three Old Testament passages to prove the scriptural evidence for his contention. One passage he mentions is specifically a portion of the second psalm that was a prophetic psalm, identifying Jesus and the Son of God, the begotten of God. Then he affirmed that Jesus was raised to die no more, and that through Jesus God's gift was given, calling them the sure mercies of David, mercies, of course, that God delivered through the seed of David. And then quoting from Isaiah 55, where Isaiah prophesied of the blessings God would give through David, he showed that these prophecies and these promises were now fulfilled in Jesus the Christ. And then Paul quotes yet another psalm, Psalm 15, where it was prophesied that God's Holy One would not see corruption, having reference, of course, to the fact that though he was killed, he would be raised again. Now, these prophetic words referred not to King David, for David had died, David was buried, his body saw corruption. He was not the one to be resurrected. He was not the one in fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. But Christ was raised again, and Christ saw no corruption, friend, because he came forth from the tomb the third day, fulfilling the prophecies and the promises of God. Isn't it significant to note that here Paul, in speaking of Jesus as the Son of God, and speaking of Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises, how that he is the resurrected one, he used some of the very same prophetic passages from the Old Testament that the Apostle Peter had used on the day of Pentecost to prove the very same truth about Jesus Christ. It is quite notable that Paul and Peter preached, of course, the same message about the same man, Jesus, proving the same truth, showing that his identity was the same. You know, there are some modernistic skeptics who like to talk about what they have described as a Pauline and Petrine gospel, as if Paul taught one thing and Peter taught another. That's a skeptical lie against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul preached the same thing Peter did. Paul used the same scriptures Peter did to prove the same thing about the Lord. And then there's that part of Paul's sermon, including the inevitable conclusions from the points of history and from the prophetic utterances and the fulfillment of those prophetic utterances. Through this man, there is the forgiveness of sins, and only through this one is there forgiveness of sins. Here is the message that men need so desperately to hear and to believe and to obey. Christ is the way of forgiveness of sins, and friend, there is no other. The condition that must be met by mankind in order to lay hold of the forgiveness is belief in these things and faith in the message concerning Christ as the Son of God. It is true that Paul preached the resurrection from the dead, but he preached justification by faith, just as he had written the same message in Romans 5 and verse 1. There Paul said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now please hear me well. Take note, and I say in kindness. It's noteworthy that Paul did not speak, nor did he write, justification by faith alone. There be those who would teach faith alone and faith only. But that's not what the Bible teaches, friend. And you do your soul an injustice to believe what they're telling you on that. When we study the whole counsel of God, we learn the kind of faith that saves, which is a faith that demands and leads one to obey the commands that the Lord has given. Faith that saves includes doing what the Lord says do. And how foolish for anyone to say he believes in Christ, but some way or another manages to turn his mind to think he need not obey the commands of the Lord. And then finally, the portion of Paul's sermon was designed to be persuasive, to lead his hearers to the seriousness of their disposition with this truth concerning Christ. It consists of warnings against unbelief and the failure to do what is required. In verse 40, he mentions to them the warning that even the prophets had spoken. Please note how negative his words are at this point. And let us beware of those who claim to preach as Paul preached, but who ridiculously contend that all of our preaching must be positive. If we follow their direction, we should fail to declare the whole counsel of God. Paul warned with strong words against unbelief. The warning was easily understood. Unless they had a saving faith, they would perish. What an emphasis upon our personal responsibility that we have to the gospel of Christ. Well, this then is, in a very few words, the momentous message that Paul declared to his hearers here in Antioch. This is the story of salvation, which embraced what God has done to save man and what man must do for his own salvation. And what was the reaction to his sermon? Well, the same thing that is the reaction today. Some believed, some did not. In Antioch, the Gentiles sought to hear more. Some of the Jews went away, but the next week raised such opposition to this truth that Paul had to judge them unworthy of everlasting life, Acts 13 in verse 46. But there were some that believed, and there were some that obeyed. Others did not. Now, when one does hear, when one does believe, when he does obey the teaching of the Lord to repent of his sins and confess his faith and to be baptized into Christ, then he will enjoy the salvation that the promised one has offered and brings to mankind. Yes, it is in Christ that the promises that God gave to Abraham in the great long ago, that through his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. Yes, it is through Christ, through the seed of David, that Jesus Christ provides salvation for mankind. And until one hears this gospel, and until he believes that gospel, and listen, friend, until one obeys that gospel, he remains in a lost condition. Now, what is your personal response to the gospel of Christ that Paul preached to these people? Will you not humbly submit yourself to him and simply do what the Lord says? He wants to bless you. He's provided for your salvation. It's available to you, and all that you must do is simply accept the evidence and the testimony of inspired men and obey the gospel of Christ and become a child of God. We hope that you'll seriously consider that and do that. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.